and welcome to Fortune Cookie, the podcast that dives into Chinese and Western culture. My name is Beatrice, also known as Xin Mei.
My name is Tina Chow, and students call me Zhao Lao Shi. Lao Shi is a professor or teacher in Chinese.
Today, our topic is about lifestyle. I would like to start with a story about what happened to me when I first moved to the U.S. I was not very used to the lifestyle here in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Although I'll say I've been to U.S. many times.
Before you moved here.
Yeah, and also I've actually lived here for a short amount of time before for my internship and just for traveling. I stay a couple months for that. So for me, I'm already kind of used to the Western culture or the U.S. lifestyle.
Before I even moved here.
But when I move here, it's a little bit different. Many things. For example, because we're in California, Southern California, and there's no public transportation, meaning...
I feel like that's everywhere except for New York.
If Boston has public transportation.
Yeah, on the East Coast.
Also in the Bay Area, San Francisco, they have the BART, right? So a lot of the big cities have, like Washington, D.C., they also have subways.
Yeah, but not a nationwide.
Right. So for that part, the public transportation part for me is a big challenge. So I actually have driver's license in Taiwan, but I never need it because I live in Taipei and I just take MRT, which is the metro, and the bus, public bus, so I don't really need it at all.
I agree.
So I have the license, but I don't know how to drive.
because you don't need it. I agree. It's when I talk to my friends who are still in Hong Kong or a lot of my friends who are from here, but they live in Asia and they're here just for education.
Right.
It's kind of like how we talk about you don't need a license. Like when we talk about driving or anything, you don't need it because over there, transportation, you walk out the door and there's either a bus, a taxi, or a train waiting
Correct.
For you. And that's the struggle for me when I moved to the U.S. too, Laoshi, similar to you. It was that when I first came here, I had to rely. It was such a huge shift. I had to rely on my parents even more to get me to places. So that means they needed to know everything that was going on in my life.
Which is good that your parents must be happy.
They were very happy, but a little bit opposite for me. But definitely the transportation is a huge getting used to coming over here.
Right. And that's a big challenge for me. And then I had to force myself start driving. And because there's a saying actually in Chinese, every time when I talk about, I moved to the U.S. and I have to drive, I must drive because no car, no feet. That's in Chinese, basically saying 没有车就没有脚. So no car, no feet.
That's so true. The car is your feet.
Yes.
You need to have, and I totally agree because in Asia, everywhere in Asia, you walk a lot.
Yes, you walk a lot.
So much. And when I was visiting Asia for winter break, I checked my steps that what my phone was recording, and every day it was at least 20,000 steps.
Wow, that's impressive, Xin Mei.
Thank you, Asia. Thank you, Asia, because when I was over here, I lived my normal life, did whatever I needed to do, but every day my steps would maybe just be like 7,000 or 10,000 steps. So it definitely doubled over there. So even if I ate a lot in Asia, a lot.
You still lost weight?
And I still lost weight coming back here.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how much I walked.
So, Xin Mei, do you think, this is a sensitive topic now, the weight issue?
Yes.
So, because people always say, Asian people are tiny.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, do you think it's because of the lifestyle, because of, you know, we don't need to drive and we can just walk everywhere. We can walk to supermarket, we can walk to convenience store, we can walk to restaurants. You do not need to drive from one part to another part in the parking lot.
Yeah. When I'm here with my mom, she's like, we got to get the closest parking spot to the door. And I'm like, where did this come from, Mom? In Asia, we walked everywhere.
Right.
But I mean, in our previous episode, we talked about diet and food.
Correct.
And
that all comes together. Like, it affects the weight.
Exactly. Right? It affects the weight, the diet and your
lifestyle.
Your lifestyle, it all affects the weight. And if anything, it's the diet and how you go about your day.
Correct.
Makes your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then your lifestyle affects, you know, your weight and you as a person.
Mm-hmm. And Lao Shi did a little bit of research.
Really?
On the weight.
Yes.
For, do you want to hear about Yashime?
Yeah, what is the findings?
So, the average weight for the U.S. female, you want to guess how many pounds
is that? I'm very bad at guessing. 140?
Pretty close. It's 159 pounds on average for
pounds.
For a female.
For female in America.
Correct.
Okay.
And for male, you want to guess?
In America?
Yes.
I'm guessing it's higher than 159. Of course, yes. 165?
Okay. You want to guess a little bit higher?
Just like 166?
No. 191 pounds.
191 pounds.
Okay, now it's the thing for our tiny Asian.
So supposedly tiny Asians.
I tried to search online that see what's the average weight for Chinese people. But I couldn't find
the numbers.
Numbers. So I look up Taiwanese.
Mm.
So the female Taiwanese weight in average is, you want to guess?
135.
Wow, that's very close.
What is it?
It's 133 pounds.
Okay.
So I was shocked by the number. I thought it would be lower.
Honestly, yes. Yes. I remember as a girl when I lived in Hong Kong, it was the thing to be 105 pounds.
I'm sorry I didn't check the Hong Kong weight, but
it's okay.
From what I see or experience, people from Hong Kong are skinnier than Taiwanese people.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's like looking at chopsticks sometimes.
Yes.
But it's as long as people are healthy, and they are. It's just somehow, I don't know what it is, but it's the environment too that makes your weight a certain way. Yeah.
Yeah, that I would like to come back later. I think that relate to stress as well.
Mm.
But stress is everywhere. So
yeah.
Anyway, so for the male average weight in Taiwan.
In Taiwan, I would more than 133.
Yes. Good memory.
Thank you. I think 100 plus, okay, I'm a plus 20, 150.
150?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit higher than that. It's 164.
164. Oh, that's very close to the American.
Not too far. It's 191 and 164.
Oh, the
male. Do you think it's far? Everybody's standard is different, Xingmei, so.
That's true.
Yes.
It's the males in Taiwan's pretty close to the females in America.
Correct.
The weight, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So that is the finding I got.
And then that makes sense. When I came to America, definitely I did put on more weight. When I saw my friends or my family, when they saw my picture, they wouldn't tell me, but they would tell my mom. So
to make you lose weight?
To make me know. My mom was my messenger. She said, oh yeah, your auntie said this and this. And then I was like, okay, cool. But in the moment, I didn't notice anything. And then now that it's a few years later, I've changed my lifestyle a little bit because I've adjusted so I could work on other things. I could tell the difference visually.
How many pounds did you put on when you first moved here?
Lashi, you're trying to open my Pandora box.
Oh, no. I'm just saying how many pounds. And I'm not asking the specific weight, right?
Yes. This information can be sold out to the public.
Let me
think. How many pounds? I want to say,
or kilograms, if you forgot.
I think kilograms is a better number. Probably 10 kilograms.
Okay, that's about right.
Wait, let me think.
That's normal.
Or maybe 20?
20 kilograms is 40 pounds. About 40 pounds.
Never mind. I think 10 kilograms.
Okay.
Yeah. 10 kilograms.
Xingmei, that is not a scary number. Because
I'm glad
when I first when I first officially working in the US,
mm-hmm.
I also put on 10 pounds.
Oh, did you walk?
Oh no, actually more. Maybe 17 pounds. A little bit more than that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's an 8 or 9 kilograms. So that's about 17 pounds. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was living in Massachusetts. Yeah. Snowing, very cold. So I think my body just tell me I need a lot of calories.
You need to hold on to your fat. You need every single one.
Yes. So I ate a lot of very, very high calorie food.
Very heart fulfilling, but not body fulfilling. Not for the weight.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, I think with these, it also affects your whole being as a person, like your mental health.
Correct.
When you change your lifestyle, when you don't move around as much, you don't exercise as much, it shows on the scale, but also it shows in your mind.
It could be very depressing.
Yeah.
To be overweight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And that will definitely lead to mental health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think even that mental health problems or just that topic looks very different in America and also looks different in Asia.
You're right, Xinmei.
Very different.
Very different, Xinmei. It's a very, very odd thing that maybe people in the US would think, oh, is that... It's very normal for people in the US to go see a shrink, to go see a counseling.
Yeah.
Even individual counseling or couple therapy,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
All
marriage
that,
therapy.
That's very, very normal.
Yeah.
But in Taiwan, I'll just take it as an example.
Yeah.
If your parents say, mm-hmm. we're going to counseling session, you might think, oh my gosh.
That's
is
not...
it a bad news?
Yeah.
Is this something bad gonna come?
Mm-hmm.
So people don't even want to talk about it. It's like a forbidden topic.
Yeah, like when they don't touch it.
If they say it, it's very shameful. It's not something that you want to tell people.
Yep.
Especially telling those people who is very close to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will be worrying and they will start asking you a lot of questions. Maybe they'll add a lot of stress on you as well. So you might as well just don't talk about it. And
yeah.
So something that is very, very different in mm-hmm. Asia or Taiwan is they don't go to the shrink, they don't go to the counseling sessions, or even they do, they just don't tell you.
Mm.
Yeah. What do you experience in the U.S., Xinmei?
In the U.S. is way different, I think, compared to what Lasha just said, because when I'm here, I mean, particularly when I'm at school and I'm just, you know, I might be going to work or I might be just going about my daily life. And
correct.
I'm just sitting there and I hear people talk. It's not uncommon. It's so normal for, it feels normal for the people just start talking about, oh, you know, I have anxiety or I have depression. And
that's right.
Yeah, it just comes out and it's not taken like a very bad thing. If anything, people want to talk about that. They want to put it out in the open because, you know, I feel like
right.
so many other people have it that if they feel like if they mention it, someone else who might have it will be able to relate and then it's like they find community here.
Correct.
Whereas the opposite in Asia, you don't find community there. If anything, you leave your community
right.
because you say something like that.
Mm.
Because in Asia, it's kind of like when it's not out in the open.
Like you're abnormal.
Yeah,
when
like
you say
you're abnormal.
It.
It's like you're
yes.
a superhero. Not even like a mutant or something. Like something is wrong.
It's wrong. Like
mm-hmm.
it's not right to say it. It's
yeah.
not right to see the doctor for that.
Yeah.
You just shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
You should be very mentally healthy and strong.
Yeah, like that's a norm.
Especially even on men.
Especially
like, they will put a lot of stress on men. Because, okay, we remember what we said before in our previous episodes. We're
mm-hmm.
saying that Chinese people love to having men over girls. They love guys
yeah.
over girls.
Yeah.
But then, in contrary, another part is they have to be such a strong person that they cannot have,
mm-hmm.
they cannot express their feelings. They cannot do things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Once they do it, it's a big, big mistake for them.
Yeah. Well, it's anything. It's like with great, you know, with great emphasis on you as your gender
right.
comes great responsibility.
Correct.
So that's something that they have to take on.
Right. For
yeah.
They are the one that get a lot of love, but they also
yep.
get stress
yep.
from different ways as well.
For sure. I should add, in Taiwan, when you went to, did you go to college in Taiwan?
Yes, I did.
Was there any counseling services there? or psychological services?
There is since when I remember, I think even from middle school there is.
But is it specifically psychological counseling services, like therapist?
The place is called counseling room. Oh. I remember, or department of counseling.
Uh-huh.
Department of counseling. So, yes, department of counseling.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I remember in middle school and high school, we had that, and I don't really remember in college. Actually, but in high school we had that, and actually we had to go to a class called counseling class. That's interesting. Yeah, every other week.
What was the class about, 老师?
So, because remember, did we talk about this? It's very, very stressful for students in Taiwan. They have to study a lot to get into a college entrance exam.
Right, yeah.
So in high school, students are very stressful every day.
Yep.
We have to go into school at 7 a.m. and we leave maybe at 10 p.m.
Oh.
So every day.
So you become good friends with everyone.
Especially in the senior year. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's the senior year life.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe earlier it's not that mm-hmm. stressful, but still stressful.
Either way, school
you're
is
counting
like that.
Down. Like when you enter the school, they write it on a board and counting down how many days left to go to that college entrance exam on
goodness.
The board. I'm serious. Every day they will write it down.
It's like.
Okay. You know, counting down 150 days, 100 days.
49. Yeah.
Starting from 1,000 day, right? Because three years education.
That's even worse.
So.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So we actually had that counseling class.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember that. Yeah, we had that class and we went there.
Is it just like a class to talk about your feelings?
We did a lot of tests.
Mm-hmm.
Mental, you know, a lot of tests, like if your test result have problems,
mm-hmm.
the teacher will ask the individuals to come to her.
Oh, problems as in your brain, like mind problems, or
maybe because we did what I remember, we did a lot of like tests, not like a test for score, but like testing.
Yeah.
Like, how's your mental health?
Yeah.
How's your, really, like, your life?
Mm-hmm.
How's it going? How's your studies?
Mm-hmm.
Is it very stressful? And then also helping you kind of determine what major you want to select in when you enter college.
It's like giving a safe space to the students to talk about things like this.
But interestingly is... we did a lot of individual tests. We don't really talk openly. So what I'm saying is maybe the teacher get all the test results
mm-hmm.
and we will also get our report back.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just for yourself.
You don't really share it
with others.
Yeah.
You don't like, look, yeah. this is my test
this
result.
This is what I got.
Yeah. So I've never been asked to talk to a teacher individually,
mm-hmm.
but I think there were students being asked. You know, to talk to the teacher, see if there's anything she could help her with or help them with.
Yeah. That's interesting because with, at least when I'm on Instagram or Facebook, I have those friends who might post about their
their mental problems?
If they go to therapy, then they will post about it.
Wow.
Yeah, put a picture there and talk about, like, oh, this is my experience so far. And they put it out there, and then
people encourage them.
Yeah, encourage them. And they also share their experience to encourage others.
That's
to
great.
To empower others.
Wow. I think that is great. Well, that is very different from what maybe the social media is changing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard about this. People get depressed by looking at other people's social medias because most of the people are sharing the best part of their life on either Facebook or Instagram. Or I know you guys are very into this thing called Snapchat. That I do not like to see that in my class. Okay?
Yeah.
So,
gosh, it's familiar but different way.
Something I don't like. Okay.
Yes.
So, that's a good change.
Yeah.
Because your friend means that your age range and meaning the new generation is changing the use of social media.
Social media.
that could be a tool to empower others and mm-hmm. sharing their own, well, experience. Which is not that, how do you say it? Not that colorful part yeah. of their life, right? Yeah. I think that's a good thing to know.
That's why I think it's being, social media can connect people through that way. But if it's, some people can also take it a little bit too far and post too much about it. That can also be another thing. And then it becomes overwhelming. And but that's also like another extreme of talking about that on social media.
Oh.
But it is a good thing in America that they do that, that they share about their experience.
Because it's your freedom.
Yeah. 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 It's a platform for you. But in Asia, that is not. That's why an Instagram page actually that was just created, I believe, this year. It's called Things I Never Said.
Okay.
Things I Never Said. And that Instagram page is about Asian Americans' experiences and their right. mental health.
Wow.
Yep. And wonderful. So that page is, in a way, raising awareness about the Asian American, or just Asians in general, and the relationship with mental health.
Wow.
Yep.
I think mental health is so important that nothing can replace that.
Yeah.
Like something that you would never be able to purchase through money. Mm-hmm. It's that.
Yeah, I agree. It's and mental health is affected by different things too. Not like, you know, we talked about it was because of weight, but also other things like stress.
Stress from work, especially, yeah. You know, after you graduate from school. Now it's school, right? School work. But yeah. later on is real life work, mm-hmm. like work for earning money, yeah. right?
Actual work.
So that is something that actually in Taiwan is not such a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
But this is still an issue is, I don't know, have you heard about this, Jimei, is Asia in general has this work overtime culture.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit. I haven't started working. And I will be going to intern in Beijing over the summer.
Yeah,
so
you better know about that.
I know. I better get educated. I'll just sleep in the office.
So something that I would like to point out is this is a culture that you probably have to follow.
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to see your office culture.
Yeah.
But I'll say overall Chinese, Taiwanese, mm-hmm. or even just Asian, Korean, Japan, the culture is if your boss, any boss that is above you,
mm-hmm.
let's say if your unit, your department, your boss didn't leave, it's 5 p.m. I'm supposed to leave, right?
Yeah.
He stays till 6:30 or 7 p.m.
Yeah.
You have to stay.
Yeah.
You have to wait till he leaves or she leaves.
Yes. Is that a rule or an unspoken rule?
It's an unspoken rule.
What happens if you leave?
Oh, you just have a bad mark there. He will probably not
the
keep
next day,
you.
Or the next day, no one sees you at work.
He will not keep you or not give you a good, you know, you're not giving a good impression
yeah.
to him or her, right?
At work.
So.
Yeah. That is definitely not a thing in the U.S.
Yes, everybody is getting ready at 4:45.
Yep, and when you're done, you are out. You're gone. And, you know, the places that I've worked at, it really is when you're done, you're done. You go home, bye,
right.
Good night.
I would say I enjoy, in the beginning when I first come mm-hmm. to U.S., when I work in the U.S., I'm so not used to that culture. Because I had a colleague came over to me and say, why are you still here? I was there probably 6 p.m. or 7 p.m.
Oh,
in my,
my
office,
goodness.
Right?
Yeah.
Even later, I used to work until 9 p.m.
As a teacher?
Yes, when I first started.
Wow.
I was like passionate and I
you
think
had
I
the
have
drive.
To be 100%, 200% prepared for everything. So that was the time. I remember I was so shocked when my colleague came over to me.
Yeah.
And say,
What did they tell you?
They asked, they did you say, why are you still here? And I said, I'm still working. He said, oh, it's already time. You should go home. They will not pay you more even though you stay longer.
Yeah.
It's still the same.
Yeah.
And I was very shocked. I was not used to that.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense. It really comes down to the culture, and I think how work is emphasized in that culture.
And, correct.
And work ethic and everything.
Yes, the work ethic.
Yeah, work ethic is a huge, huge part. And that's why with lifestyle, there's so many moving parts, and there's even, you know, parts that we couldn't even talk about today that I think, you know, definitely will be brought up in another episode.
Yeah, of course we'll do that. We have a lot more to share with
you. So much about lifestyle. Yes. That would be a great topic. And, you know, today we hope that you learned more about the quality of life, you know, in the Chinese culture compared to
the Western culture,
right, and how it varies, you know, with the pace of life and mental health and work, and how all these ties together into lifestyle that creates the lifestyle that you
correct.
Choose to live.
Yes, you may. Yeah.
And on that note, we'd like to leave you with a little food for thought. So what is the ideal lifestyle that brings you happiness?
That's a great one.
Yeah. What kind of lifestyle do you want to live that will make you happy? And, you know, maybe it is because of the culture you live in, or you could also choose something from another culture and integrate it in your own culture.
Yes. Yeah. So thank you all for joining Fortune Cookie today. And please follow us on Facebook via the link on our page.
Yes. And also episodes release every Sunday. And on our Podbean page on the right side, you will see a feedback link. So if you have any feedback you would like to give us or any comments, feel free to go to the form. And we would love to hear what you have to say about Fortune Cookie.
Yeah, we would really love that.
Yes. And remember to
love,
respect,
and thrive.
See you all in the next episode.
We'll see you next episode.
Bye.
Thank you.